The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, sunshine, and welcome to She Was a Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's start your fire and ignite your spark. I'm Courtney Megan, your host, and this is episode 5 of season 2 of She Was a Fire. And today I'm talking about an ending and a new beginning. More specifically, today is my final cancer treatment. So I'm recording this on a Thursday and I go in for my final cancer treatment today at 12:30. And then just start the rest of my life, I guess. I was originally going to talk about forming habits today, and I sat down and I planned that whole episode out, did all my research and got all my ducks in a row, I guess you would say. But I don't know, this morning I just got up and I couldn't stop thinking about the fact that, like, I just didn't want to speak about habits. Like, I just wasn't in that frame of mind to talk about that. And all I wanted to talk about was what today is for me. I'm super emotional. So this is going to be a tough one. But I just felt like it was important to talk about. I've talked about it a little bit on my Instagram, but with a 15-second slide, you can't really get too much across. And I guess this part of this podcast has been about my cancer journey. And this podcast has always been about me sharing my life and being honest with you guys. And I don't know, I didn't plan for this to be today's episode because I just thought maybe I already had done enough cancer content on this podcast, but I just can't, I don't have it in me to record some sort of get up in the morning and then you'd get a routine. And I just didn't have it in me to record that today. All I felt I could do was this. And so that's what we're talking about today. All right, so I'm coming into you from the future. It is now Friday and I had my final immuno session yesterday. Woohoo! But after listening back to this episode when I was going to give edits to Aaron, I realized that there was something that just felt like it was missing. And so last night I sat down and I wrote a final segment and it's called Dear Cancer, which is now the title of this episode. And I wrote a letter to my cancer after I had finished my immunotherapy. So that will be towards the end of the topic segment. So I just felt like I needed something to kind of finalize everything and just feel like it was a full stop at the end. And so I wrote that letter last night and it just made me feel like I was kind of letting go of something. So I'll read that to you at the end of this. Before we get into it, as always, if you could share this podcast, word of mouth is what helps me grow. And I think today's episode especially can be really helpful to a lot of people who, one, are going through treatment, who have cancer, and to people with family members who have cancer or are going through treatment, because I think it's a perspective that you can't really understand until you're in it. And I think that if you have family members who are going through the same thing, then it would be nice for you to understand what they're going through, I guess. And obviously everybody's journey is very different, but I guess mine, from what I've heard on Instagram, is quite typical of what a lot of people feel the day they kind of finish their treatment. And so, yeah, if you could share this, tag me on your Insta story if you're listening to it, share it with your friends. Lots of people are touched by cancer, so spread the word. Before we get into it, some more happy stuff. I can already feel my throat like closing up a little bit from like being like upset, but I'm all right. So what I've been up to, as always, we kick off with what I've been up to. And something that has been like really a big thing for me this week was that last weekend I did a goals night with my friends. So I'm not sure, I can't remember, immunobrain, if I have, I won't be able to use that as an excuse soon, if I have spoken about this before, but so Adam, one of the guys here at Spin & Co, he did this thing with his friends where they all met up and talked about their goals for the year and just shared their goals, and then they meet up once a month to sort of keep each other accountable and update one another. And I just really loved that. As you know, that's something that would obviously resonate with me. So I decided to do it as well. And I chose three of my friends, Maddie, Amber, and Lang, who are kind of all on similar pages with the way in which we are like really quite driven and we're all kind of working towards something with our lives. You know, some people set set goals to, start families, or some people set goals to learn a new language and, you know, start new hobbies, things like that. Whereas most of us have kind of very career-driven goals. And so I thought that it was really good to be aligned with people who had those similar things, because we could give like lots of input to one another. Whereas like, you know, some of the other goals, you know, for people learning hobbies or starting families and things don't necessarily have a lot of things to offer with that, I guess, because it's not something that I'm working towards. Each to their own, obviously, like, you know, plenty of years I've had to very different things to being career driven, but that's where I'm at the moment. And so we sat around and we shared our goals, and it was just so rewarding. Like, obviously I did a whole episode here where I shared my goals with you, but there's no one like I'm talking to, it's just to myself. And so having people be like, oh yes, and then give feedback, ideas, I was giving ideas on how they can achieve their goals. We have like a group chat now, we check in on each other, and I had a few wins last night, and I messaged the group being like, oh, just a few wins on my goals, keeping everyone updated. And I just found it so rewarding to be able to say them out loud to someone, have someone respond back, then be able to give input to somebody else's goals and what they're working towards themselves. It's just so refreshing. And I just encourage everybody to do it. You don't have to just do it at the start of the year. You can do it anytime. Obviously, we all have goals at different times in our lives. And so we are going to try and regularly catch up. But I just really loved it. And it felt made me feel really invigorated this week. I have been having a lot of issues the last month. Like, my side effects are kicking my ass as always. And I've got all these really big dreams, but I'm not able to balance my time very well. And that's been a struggle for me. And I will go into, at the end of this episode, my goal things for February, like I always do at the start of the month, and I'll kind of elaborate on that. But yeah, recommend that. I also went on the Wild Ones podcast, and they talked about like single life. So they had their friend Kat Hennessy on, who's like someone going out, and she like goes on dates a lot and like goes out with like lots of people to socialize, to date men and things like that. She's like got a thriving single life, whereas I'm like obviously the very opposite, and I'm at home by myself, you know. Both of us are equally happy. And we were kind of talking about both those different perspectives, but like Lucy and Nikki really want me to like get a boyfriend. So like, oh my God, come out with us. We'll like find you a man, which is like very confronting to me. Just one, going out with the Wild Ones, number one. Like, you know, I'm not a partier. I'm certainly not a wild one. And so we went for a drink. It was like casual. It's like a work night. Like I get tired easily, you know. So we just went for like one casual drink. It wasn't about boys at all, but it was really nice to just go out with them and have a midweek drink. It's something that I haven't done in a really long time. I'm so career driven. It's like got to go home and work. Also, like, you know, I get really tired easily because of the cancer treatment. So I've been like, you know, conserving my energy, and I don't go out and really drink very much or socialize like that. So it was really nice to kind of like open myself up to something a bit different. And I think I might, you know, do that more because I enjoyed it. Also, tomorrow night I'll be going out to dinner to celebrate the end of my immunotherapy. So I'll probably have something to report on that next week, but I'm just going out with my closest friends and family to celebrate it all being fucking over. All right, let's get into the fire starter for today. And I've chosen an oldie from when I was a teenager, and it's Stronger by Britney Spears. Now, me and my friends, Emily, Chloe and Tegan, my high school besties, and they're still my best friends now, we used to have a dance to this song. So it's like, you know, when you're in high school and you have like little choreographed dances, we used to have one to this song. And actually my three best friends, I'm seeing them all this week. So it's been years and years and years and years. Like, Tegan has lived in England. Chloe's lived in England. She's lived in India. Emily's lived in Sydney. Chloe lived in Melbourne. Tegan lived in Melbourne. They haven't lived here for like over 10 years. And Emily's just moved back. Tegan's here visiting her family, and Chloe's here visiting her family too this week. And so it's just like, I'm seeing all three of my besties in 1 week. It's just like the perfect week for it to happen, because it's like a big week for me with my immuno and cancer treatment kind of ending. So that's been really lovely. We've been best friends since like grade 8 pretty much. So that's just really nice to have them here, because I haven't been able to see them because of COVID or really do anything with them. And it's been the hardest year of my life. And to not have like, you know, some of your closest people to sort of have near you can be really hard. Obviously, we've talked a lot on the phone and We've done Zoom chats and all that kind of stuff, but it will be so nice to be like around them. So yeah, Stronger by Britney Spears is the song that I'm going with today. And obviously the chorus, stronger than yesterday. And that's how I'm hoping I'll feel tomorrow. So let's ignite today's topic. We're talking about endings and a new beginning. So obviously this is it. It's been 12 months of cancer treatment every fortnight. I've gone every Friday for the past year. And it has been varying. So it's gone from I went there for 30 minutes for the first one and then I started to slowly get reactions to the point now where for my treatments I have to go for 5 hours, be knocked out in a hospital bed, and it's like a whole ordeal. People who typically get this treatment, it's like a 30-minute thing. You're in, you're out. You sit in a chair. You're awake the whole time. It's super easy and that's it. For me, it's like a whole ordeal because I'm allergic to the treatment. And so it's where it started to where it's ended has been vastly different. The fact that it has been really hard to sit there and see like 80-year-old people sit there and their body handle it like a trooper. They come in, they come out for 30 minutes, they're done. They go once a month. I can't even go once a month because my body can't handle the double dosage if you go once a month. So I can only get it like half a dosage. And they get to it for 30 minutes. They have to slowly drip it through my system over the space of 2 hours. They have to give me all these drugs before, knock me out. And it's like I'm this like young 34-year-old, how old am I? 34-year-old, and it's like these 80-year-olds like getting in and getting out and running out of there, and I'm like dragging myself out because I'm basically asleep the whole time. It's a bloody nightmare. So it hasn't looked like what it was supposed to look like. Immunotherapy is obviously very different for a lot of people. The side effects for the first few months were barely there. It was just like feeling fatigued. And it wasn't until like the 6 month kind of mark that they really started to kick in. Typically, what I've heard for side effects for this treatment, they happen early on and then late on they get better. I've had the opposite happen. I think my body's starting to wear down now, being allergic to it. And so I'm getting more side effects. And it's just been a lot. It's been anywhere from fatigue to just feeling like, you know, you're hit by a bus when you get out of bed in the morning. Every cut that I have takes, you know, like longer to heal. I'm feeling like my memory isn't there. I feel groggy in the brain all the time. I get really bad sores in my mouth. All of my joints really hurt. I get a rash on my face. It's just like there's a whole host of things that happen. And I'm hoping that they'll all go away really soon. In my head, it's like I'll wake up tomorrow and all the side effects will be gone because it was my last treatment. But in reality, the doctors say it can take anywhere from 2 to 6 months. Sorry, I just am getting a phone call from my doctor. What a weird coincidence. One moment. Hello, Courtney speaking.
Hi, Courtney. How are you doing?
Oh, good. How are you? Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. No, it's all good. So, are you feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Final treatment. I'm very excited.
I noticed that, yeah. Cycle number 26, which is your weeks 51 and 52. Here we go. How's that?
So excited.
Yeah. So, good luck with your last dose.
Thank you.
And we'll touch base on the phone, yeah, in about 4 weeks' time with some bloods.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. See you, bye.
Bye. All right, so I'm back. So that was just my oncologist giving me a call about my final treatment today, just going over a few things with me. So that was interesting. So he did just confirm with me that it can take a few months for the drugs actually to leave your system. And so people call it like a hangover apparently. So I still could have those side effects, you know, lasting a few more months. And I'll be getting my PET scans once every 6 months. I have to get bloods in a month just for them to check that again. Obviously my skin checks every 3 months still. So that's kind of what that's going to look like for me. I can't have children until I get my 5-year all clear. So that's about 4.5 years away. And officially I don't get the full all clear until I'm at the 5-year mark. So we're way off from that. But as far as like actual treatment and this being like a day-to-day thing for me, that is ending shortly once the drugs have all left my system in about 2 to 3 months. Hopefully I can just completely move past it. So what I wanted to talk about today, you're like, get to the point. Was that this is like why there's mixed emotions. And as somebody who would be like on the outside, if I saw someone else talking about this, I'd probably be like, geez, like, shouldn't you just be grateful that the treatment's over? Like, you're always whinging about the treatment. Now it's over and now you're whinging that it's, you know, ending. And so I totally get it. And it's definitely a positive. Like, I'm so excited to just finish this chapter and move on to the next chapter. It does feel like my life can kind of start again. It's felt very much like I'm on pause. You know, I started this process last, you know, late December 2019, having a doctor tell me that I had a 50-50 shot of surviving the next 5 years, you know, and that was confronting, obviously. If you want to know more about that, I have an episode that's called Courtney, You've Got Stage 4 Cancer. Go check that out. But that was like a lot to take on, and I don't even know who that girl is anymore sitting in that doctor's office. I feel like I've changed so much since then. And it's just been like such a growth period for me, but you know, it's been a really scary time. And obviously finishing this treatment feels like I'm closing a door on that traumatic thing that was happening. As I said, I don't get the all clear for the 5 years officially, but it does just feel like it's not like an active part of my life. It's just in the background moving forward. And so that's a huge positive. I don't have to like change my whole life because it's become routine for me now. I get blood tests every 2 weeks. I have half days every second Friday because I have to go get my treatment. You know, I have my routine on a Thursday night before treatment, the drugs that I have to take. I have my Dance It Out song. On Saturday mornings after treatment, I go to Pacific Fair just to walk around to move my body. Then on a Sunday, I have a rule where I don't do anything because I need to rest my body. I've been having 6 p.m. dinners for the whole fucking year when I go out socially. I turn down invites when I feel like I'm just not up to it, and I have to manage how my body is feeling at all times. It has been a lot, a big change, and it's all become a part of my life. It's like part of my routine now, having this treatment. And so having that come to an end, it's like, great, I can go back to like doing things on Sundays and feeling like a normal human again and getting up in the morning and not feeling like you've been hit by a bus. All of those things are going to be great. But then it also, on the flip side, is really scary because, as I said, all of these things have become so much a part of my routine. This is all my life has looked like for the past 12 months. My whole life has revolved around getting treatment, making sure I get the test before the treatment, make sure I'm treating my body well, make sure I'm eating right, make sure I'm drinking enough, all these things that I'm kind of preparing for every 2 weeks to go to this treatment. Everything revolves around that. And also I think that because I've sort of changed so much over this period, it's become a part of me. You know, I'm not the same girl that I was because I've changed so many other things as part of my life, like, you know, being a more open person, trying to be a more positive person, changing the way that I'm motivated, changing even the things that I do on a daily basis. Now I've tried to, you know, I'm starting my side hustle. I have all these other passions that I've got going on. Even just those basic things have really changed about me. And then I've added in this treatment stuff in. And so now it all feels like that's who I am. And now I'm pulling that out. That feels really strange. I think if you were the same person, you didn't change, it would just felt like you were adding it on and then just taking it off. Whereas I feel like this has become a part of me. You know, I have talked about my cancer card before, and like obviously like a funny kind of like ha 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 thing where it's like I get discounts, or like it's how, you know, I'm sure it's how a lot of people find me on my Instagram, and it's how people connect with me and people feel motivated by me because I've got this added story, and now I have to like cash in the cancer card, and it feels like it's so much a part of me, and it's hard to not be defined by my past. Like obviously it's still my present right this very minute, but you know, in a couple of months that will be my past and that cancer story will just be a blip that I had in my life, hopefully, and it doesn't come back. But it feels weird to give it up because it feels like so much of who I am. So yeah, it's a weird one. I'm just feeling very raw today. The other big element to this is that I started this process with cancer and I've ended it without any cancer. The treatment has worked. So going off this treatment is scary because it feels like it's your security blanket. Feels like it's protecting me from the cancer. And being off it feels like you no longer have that protection. And as hard as it is being on it, it's not as hard as having cancer. So that's like one of the biggest things, you know. I'll just feel like once it's out of my system in 2 months, it's just me then, you know, my body hopefully not getting it back. And it's scary. I follow a lot of people on Instagram who I'm really friendly with now that have gone to their 4.5 year appointment and the doctors said it's back and it's everywhere, you know, and they think they're just at the end of this and it comes back. And it is really hard to put those stories out of your head. And obviously I'm focusing on being positive and that's not going to be me and all of those things, but they're still there. You can't ever completely ignore them. You have to be a really, really, really strong person to completely block out any of that kind of stuff. And I've had family members, obviously my uncle died of cancer, died of melanoma. And so those things are present in your brain at all times, regardless of how positive you are. And I don't want that to be me. It's not going to be me. And you convince yourself that, but it's still that doubt in the back of your mind. So taking away the thing that has made me feel so safe for the past 12 months is fucking horrifying. I just had to stop to have a drink. And I forgot to tell you, one of the massive side effects that I get from it is dry mouth and thirst. Immunotherapy makes you so thirsty and gives you the worst dry mouth. It's insane. I'll be ready to get rid of that really soon. Oh my God, the dry mouth is horrible. Anyway, so that is a really scary thing to feel like you're going back into the world with no protection whatsoever. And so that is like a whole part of what's happening today. So whilst I just feel over the moon that this is it, and I feel like I can start my life again tomorrow, like I can just be a normal 34-year-old girl again, this is all still happening in the back of my mind. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just wanted to share that. I'm just feeling very raw. A lot of people have DM'd me that have gone through similar things and just said I was a mess the last day of my treatment. I was crying the whole time. I mean, I fully expect to be crying the minute I get to the hospital, the minute I leave the hospital, and I have to go alone. That's the really hard thing as well, because I don't even know if it's COVID rules anymore. It originally was COVID rules, but now I think it's actually just like the hospital's visiting hours. I'm not there during the visiting hours, so I have to go to the treatment by myself. I think today that will be really hard. I'm bringing all the nurses like a little gift to say thank you, so hopefully I'll feel like happy when I'm doing that. And not like super upset. But yeah, just trying to keep it together. yeah, it's going to be interesting to see like what happens now. This cancer has been in many ways something that like I really ran with and took the opportunity to make it a positive, even though, you know, I would never want to say that cancer is a positive, but to find a silver lining, I've really tried to become a better person, live my life the way that I've always dreamed, and have this be a motivation rather than something that crushed me. And I tried to use it as fuel for my fire. Get that analogy there for this podcast. Rather than, you know, letting it like dim my fire, I guess. So, and I think that I'm proud of the way that I've handled this and the way that I've gotten through it. It's been, yeah, it has been definitely the hardest year of my life. It feels like it's been a lot longer than a year. Everyone's saying to me like, oh my God, that went so quick. And it just feels like I started this years ago. And it's coming to an end and I'm just finishing this chapter, and that's all it is. It's just a chapter. It's a fucking traumatic chapter, but it's coming to an end now and I get to start a whole new beginning, and that's exciting and it's scary. And yeah, I guess we'll see who I am without my cancer card moving forward. But yeah, it will always be a part of my story. I never wanted it to kind of define my story. I'm proud, as I said, of how I've gotten through this and handled this whole thing. You know, I worked my way through it. I became a better person at the other end. I made a lot of changes within my business because of this that have been super beneficial. I worked my butt off to start a side hustle, start a podcast, to figure out what I was passionate about, to make changes in my life, to make sure that I was like, you know, if I did die, that I gave it a red hot go. And so I'm proud of how I did that. I'm also really proud of the fact that I got over my fears of being seen for who I am on Instagram and sharing all of myself so that I could spread awareness. If I had gone into Instagram and not shared so much, I don't think that it would have resonated with people as much. So I'm really proud that I was strong enough to open up and be vulnerable in that way to be able to help other people, because that's what this has all been about. I wanted to open up to help other people. Opening up on the internet, leaving yourself open to criticism, opinions, unwanted feedback can be really difficult when you're already in a very vulnerable position. But so many of you have really helped me also along this journey. The support from strangers is just like, it does actually mean a lot. You know, my family and friends obviously have been there for me too, and that obviously means more than strangers, but it's still really nice to have so many people, you know, watching along and supporting what you do. And I did my last Dance It Out song this morning, and I did it to Kelly Clarkson, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger, which is the song that I danced it out to when I found out I didn't have any cancer in my body earlier in the year. So it just seemed really fitting. Today is also World Cancer Day, which is a really weird coincidence that I would be finishing my treatment on World Cancer Day. So, it's been an amazing journey, and so many of you have been a part of that. And I had people message today saying, like, we're all dancing along with you this morning, you know, like through the phone, which was just so sweet, because I have felt so much love and encouragement and support from all of you. And so many of you have been kind enough to share your stories with me too, which has also made it a lot easier in me not feeling like I'm in this alone and that I'm the only one feeling this way, you know, which cancer can be really isolating. And opening up to my community has made that so much easier for me. So as selfishly as that is, I obviously initially did this to raise awareness, but it in turn has, you know, really helped me having like this dear diary moment that has been really rewarding, as well as I shared my highs and lows. So yeah, this is hopefully it now. I just can't believe that I'm going to walk into the hospital for the last time. Like, what will I do with my every second Friday now? Who knows? What will I do with my Sundays? I'm not sure. I just wanted to share that today because I'm feeling very raw and emotional this morning. I guess I've said before, I'm not a super emotional person, but today there's just no containing it. Happiness, sadness, it's all right there at the forefront, and I'm feeling every emotion today. It's a lot, but just one day, and tomorrow will be a completely new day and I'll be ready to just roll. You know, obviously the side effects might still be there, but it'll just be a few little things and we'll be able to be normal again. I just can't wait to see what I can achieve once I'm back to capacity, because I've felt a little bit like a shell of myself the last couple of months, not mentally, but physically I have felt a bit like a shell of myself. So I think that will be really great I guess it's not just physically, mentally I haven't been able to be as productive as I normally would. But I'm still feeling very driven and everything, but I just haven't been able to operate at a high level. And I'm not as efficient as I normally am, but hopefully that will all change in a couple of months. So Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who has listened to this journey, and this podcast kind of all started because of this cancer journey. It gave me the confidence to share who I am, be myself in all my glory, and the cancer was the catalyst for that. And so thank you to everyone who has been listening. Like, obviously this isn't the end, this is just the beginning, but I just wanted to say shout out to all of you and thank you for being so supportive of me through this whole process. And I'm sure some of the content I've put out there hasn't always been the easiest for people to consume. I remember pretty much this time last year, Valentine's Day last year, I put out an IGTV story, if you want to go check it out, to my main page. That is what I would say would have been my lowest point in this whole process. I'd just gone through all the fertility stuff. I just started treatment, and I had a very hard day with full of triggers, full of so many triggers. And I got on Instagram TV, and I was quite upset. I was crying, telling my story about how hard my day was. I hit upload on that, and 2 minutes later I got a call from my family saying that my uncle was in hospital dying of cancer. So that just got a whole heap worse. So it was like a couple of days there that I would say were like my worst period, and I kind of shared that. I did an IGTV shortly after my uncle had passed away, kind of sharing that experience as well. That was probably my darkest period during this, but other than that, I'm really proud of how I handled this mentally. And it just really proved to me that I am strong and I can do hard things. And I think that that was, you know, really good for me moving forward. It's given me so much more confidence to be able to, even in the workplace, in social settings, you know, it's just given me the confidence to be who I am. And so, you know, silver lining, that's great. All right. So as I said, I'm back in now for my letter that I wrote. So I am coming to you from the future. I have finished my final immunotherapy. It all actually went really smoothly, which was amazing. The needle, it just took one go. The treatment went really fast. All the nurses were really quick that day. So I was there for probably like my shortest hospital immuno session that I ever have. It was only, I think, like 3.5-4 hours, and sometimes it can be like up to 6. So that was amazing. All the nurses were so wonderful. I gave them like little gifts to say thank you, as I mentioned earlier, and they were so grateful. Like, I gave them a whole bunch of James Cosmetics, and I bought them a bunch of chocolates. And like, when I was leaving, there were nurses who I've never had anything to do with walking out with like little masks. They were like opening the boxes and giving like people one of them. It was like quite cute. And they're like, thank you so much, Courtney. I'm like, I don't know who you are. But I do also sometimes forget who the nurses are, because I'm like completely knocked out and on drugs when I meet them. And I'm like, they're like, oh yeah, from last week. I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, so it all went really smoothly. And today is like the first day of like the rest of my life, I guess. Obviously, I still feel like worse for wear. Drugs won't leave my system for about 3 months. But I just want to sort of finish with this letter to kind of officially close this chapter. Dear Cancer, back in 2017 when we first met, you took me by surprise. You didn't stay very long and I didn't get to know you very well, but I always had a sinking feeling you would be back. Then in 2019, you reared your ugly head again, and this time you wanted to leave a lasting impression. You wanted to stick around and make a name for yourself. I remember hearing your name in my doctor's office and how just the thought of you being in my life instantly broke my heart. That day you took a piece of me, one I won't get back again. But I've built a new one, a stronger piece, and a more resilient one. A piece I didn't know I could build, and I proved to myself that I could. A piece that was a building block for my life on which all others will stand. In the past 13 months, you've hung over my head like a dark cloud, but I managed to find the light. You tried to break me, but I came back stronger. You tried to dim my spark, but instead I built a whole damn fire. And as much as I'm ready to let you go and leave you behind, I know you will always be a part of me. And I wanted to thank you. Thank you for making me stop, listen, and realize what's important and what I wanted out of my life. Thank you for showing me what gratitude truly is. Thank you for helping me prove to myself what I'm made of. In a funny way, you changed me. but also helped me become more myself than I ever have been before. Thank you for helping me find my purpose. We cried, we danced, we fought, but in the end, you didn't win. I did. The devil whispered in my ear, "You're not strong enough to withstand the storm." I whispered back, "I am the storm." A quote by Adhir Anandvin. All right, let's get into the next segment, guys. Attitude of gratitude. So I guess my attitude of gratitude is that I made it. It was 50-50 there. The treatment would work. And obviously, like, I still have to get to the 5 years, but like the key time was now. And so I feel as though I've like made a huge accomplishment to get to the end of this. There have been plenty of times where I thought it might break me or they might have to stop the treatment because my body couldn't handle it. But she held up just long enough to get through to the end. So that's what I'm grateful for, that I had so many amazing medical practitioners who didn't just put me in the hard basket and be like, "Oh, sorry, she's too difficult." My oncologist was amazing and he just kept trying all these different things to see if we could try and get my body to handle the treatment. We tried so many different ways and different tools to use to try to get me to be able to handle these drugs. And he could have just been like, "She's too hard," but he persisted with me, which is really good. And so I'm just so grateful to all the nurses who were like so kind to me and made, you know, going to the hospital every 2 weeks alone still a really nice experience. And so I'm grateful to all of those people and just that I fucking made it. I've made it. All right, getting on to my goal getter section. So I usually go through like numbers every month that are my goals. And my goal for my Courtney Mangan Instagram, my main one, is that I want to hit 6,510. So I did some maths, guys. If I want to get to 10K, I have to get 350 new followers every single month by the end of the year. That's what we're working towards, 10K by the end of the year. So I need, 350 every single month from now to get to 10K by the end of the year, which is a stretch. I don't normally average 350 new. There are like some months where it's like I talked about my new business. I launched my podcast. I talked about my weight loss story. I shared my fertility journey. I talked about I just got cancer. All of those were big months. And I had like a big increase in followers there. But then a normal month, I might only get like 50 or 100 followers. So, and I don't have any more flashy cards, you know. I've had to cash in my cancer card. I've lost the weight now. That story's over. I've already launched the side business, the side hustle. So it's like, you know, I don't have much else to kind of like, I haven't got anything else up my sleeve here. So it is what it is. I've got to try and like just make sure that I'm giving value and that it's interesting content. But yeah, 350 is definitely a stretch, but I think it's still attainable. And with regards to all of my other things, I think instead of having a certain number to reach for my other Instagrams, I just want to be working on consistency. I have found the last couple of months really hard to balance designing new products for Courtney Mangan Co., coming up with creative content for my Instagram for She Was The Fire and Courtney Mangan Co., consistently building those, consistently posting, finding that balance between owning Spin & Co., owning the Spin Studio, being the creative director for James Cosmetics, and then also having a podcast, doing my side gig. There's so many elements and I've been finding it really hard to find the balance. When I put energy into one thing, the other one falls down, and that has been really hard, especially since the side effects have made my energy levels not great and my memory bad and my attention span really difficult. So I have found balance really hard. So this month I just kind of want to work on getting that balance right and work on consistency. I would love to also be able to batch record some of these podcast episodes and then just do the intros once a week. So I just sort of can batch record the bulk of the episode a few weeks in, like, you know, a few in 1 week, and then I just come in every week and just tell you what I've been up to, and I do that, add that on at the start. That would be really good. I'd love to be able to design some new notepads for this month and reach out to some manufacturers for diaries. That's kind of where my goals are for February at the minute. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys because, as you know, we focus here on being goal getters and going and setting those goals and being driven and having these like steps every single month. So I wanted to share that with you. And yeah, let's finish with today's thought of the week. This is a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I have lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along. You must do the thing you think you cannot do. Just thought that was really fitting for today. So closing this chapter today, starting a new one really soon. I'm excited to share with you where this takes me. Thank you for following me along this portion of this journey. There's much more to go. But thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And I'll be back next Tuesday with another ep. In the meantime, remember, do not let your past define you and protect the skin you're in. Follow me at Courtney Mangan Co. and at She Was The Fire. Subscribe and share. Bye.